Do keep that passage open, and we're going to go through and explain what that's all about. What is that story all about with that feeding? I'm going to pray to God for his help, and then I'm going to explain what this passage is all about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its message, and help us to understand what it means. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt really, really hungry? Like, I mean so hungry that your stomach is a little bit like a lion. It's starting to growl. And imagine for a moment that this takes place on the moon. And you think to yourself, hopefully a slide will come up, what are we going to do? It's so remote here. There's nothing around. I'm so hungry. I've got to get out of this place. Now imagine that it's not only a physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger. The deep down, you just feel so empty. And you want to be filled. Well, we're going to go to a place today, a place that's quite remote, where we're going to have a filling for those who are empty. But it's not about the place that we're going to exactly, but the person who's in that place. So keep the Bible open, and we're going to find out who that person is, because earlier on in verse 9 of chapter 8, this is the very question that King Herod had been asking. He said this, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? He's asking the question about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And so what happens in this story in verses 10 to 17 is explaining who this Jesus is. And then the answer is given at the end of verse 20. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. So this is a story that is going to explain who Jesus is and how he is the Messiah. And the Messiah is just a title for the Savior King. And this meal reveals that to us. And so we're going to get into that to understand why does Jesus providing a meal matter for this feeling of emptiness. And we're going to go. So firstly, the first thing we see is the speaking place in verses 10 to 11. And you can follow along in the story. Here we go. Jesus takes his disciples. Firstly, the first slide will come up. Speaking place, verses 10 to 11. Jesus took his disciples to be alone, but this crowd starts to follow him along the way. And he welcomes them. And this is what happens in verse 11. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them. So Jesus is speaking to them about what? Look down in the story if you're following along. The kingdom of God. A message that had been through the Bible about the king of this divine Savior King. And in particular, there are lots of images in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 25, there's a description of this king who will provide this feast for everyone. And so we move from the speaking place. Here's the second word, if you're trying to memorize it and follow along. The second place that we go to is the self-focused place in verses 12 to 14. So a lot of time has passed. Jesus has been speaking, and what we see in verse 12 is the disciples say this. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, oh, send the crowd away. They can go to their surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place. There's no food around here. Just send them away. The disciples, they see that there is a great need. And they realize that they can't meet this need. Because it's just such a remote place. It's a little bit like the moon. Nothing around to provide for all of these needs. They're concerned and they can't do anything. Have you ever felt like that? You see this great need of this emptiness and you just don't have enough. I've only got. Verse 13, let me read this. It moves forward. He replied, you give them something to eat, but their whole focus is in and of themselves. the need is far bigger than what they've got. But the problem here is they're too focused on themselves, what they don't have, their resource, their ability, their provision. However, they hadn't realized the person that they were with. We go from the speaking place to the self-focused place. And here's the great part. We're now in the satisfied place in verses 14 to 17. Something's going to happen. And let me read this. I love this. Verse 16. Have them sit down, verse 15. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. What's going to happen? Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Did you spot that? He didn't look to the situation. He didn't look to the disciples. He looked up to heaven, to the Father. And it's from there the provision comes. And verse 17 seems pretty normal. The story goes on. Verse 16, then he gave them this food to the disciples, and they ate. We think, okay, this is normal, but something miraculous happens in verse 17. They ate and were satisfied, and the people's picked up 12 baskets. Enough for everyone and more. With only that, and yet Jesus was able to do that. Luke is showing us, as we read that story, Jesus' power to bring something out of nothing. Filling out of emptiness. Existence out of no existence. A miraculous multiplying to demonstrate that he is the Messiah, this King, that heaven provides for the needs. But just so that we're clear, this is not a health and wealth gospel. It's not saying if I want something, it will be physically provided for. Because later on in chapter 9, verse 23, he talks about what it means to follow Jesus, that you will have to deny yourself, that it will be a cost. What this picture is showing is that Jesus will provide spiritually, eternally, ultimately, deep down. And he uses disciples. He uses disciples and what they've got, only what they've got. You know, if that story was read, you could see that Jesus wouldn't, he could just do it himself. Why did he use the disciples? Because he wants to use what we've got, as small and as insignificant as it is. Heaven provides for those deep spiritual needs using only what the disciples have got. So Karen's going to come in a little bit later and explain to us how this could apply to our lives. But hopefully you've seen the story, the speaking place, the self-focused place, then moving us to the satisfied place where heaven provides for our needs. So more to follow with Karen. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Looking forward to seeing you all for pancakes. I heard Louise's voice of approval here, so this is good. So yeah, remember we were thinking, only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You know, I've only got. That's what the disciples were saying. If you look back at Luke 9 in front of you, in verse 13. And the needs of the people around them were just so great, far bigger than what the disciples thought they could provide for. And yet, an amazing miracle took place. Jesus took what they had, only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and miraculously multiplied it. So they, in fact, offered just what they had, rather than saying, well, you know, I haven't got much. And I want us to pause and to think, what about us? How are we reacting to that story this morning? Maybe we're just smiling and going, oh, yes, I know that story. Nice, nice story. Comforting ourselves, reminding ourselves that, yes, Jesus provides all that we need. And that's good. But But I think this morning we need to think much deeper than that about the challenge that it brings to us. Let's be honest. When do we make excuses and say, oh, I've only got... I'm not going to ask you to admit to those excuses, but I am going to encourage you to be honest between yourself and God. I thought of a few where we say only. Maybe I've had people say to me, oh, I can't do what you do. And I'm like, but I can't do what you do. They say, I can't lead. And I say, but you can do this, this, and this, particularly at Holiday Club. We need a whole team. The body of Christ has all sorts of people within it who need to do all kinds of different things. The answer to that, of course, is to trust Jesus, to offer what you have. Volunteer willingly. Or maybe people say, oh, well, I can't invite people around to my house. I've only got a small place. My flat's too small. And I would say, honestly, I've been invited to various people's houses. The thing I do not look at is what size their house is. I'm much more impressed by the warmth of the welcome. And that's important. But if you really feel that, well, we've just given examples. Offer to meet them for coffee here. Come to something here. It's about the welcome, not the size of your home. Or maybe we say, oh, I can't really cook. I'm not very good. Do you know what? I once needed to cook for someone, and I just really genuinely didn't have time. But I did have time to pop to the shop, buy them a ready meal and deliver it. And do you know what? I think they were just as grateful for the food because they actually needed the food. They needed to be saved from cooking at that point. It's okay to do that. Or I learnt this trick from someone who really felt they couldn't cook. They learnt one meal and they cooked it for everyone that they invited to their house. And I was like, that is genius. Because gradually, I'm sure they actually got really good at that meal. But did it matter that it was the same meal? That's good, because any of you that come around are going to cook the same thing for you now. But it didn't matter. Or sometimes we say, oh, well, I can't really commit in advance. My job means I do this and I'm busy. And that's often genuinely true. I know people who work shifts are often not told much in advance. I think one of the greatest blessings I receive is when people just randomly are kind, random acts of kindness. And suddenly they listen out for a need and they think, well, actually, I could meet that need right now. So if you find it hard to commit in advance, genuinely find it hard, not just making excuses, you know, listen out for people. Work out when you could help. You'll soon figure it out. If you ask God to show you, he sure will. Or we say, well, I don't have much money. And I know that's genuinely true for many people. But use what you have. Things like Refresh and the community kitchen are going to be free at church. So invite people, come with them to that. It doesn't have to be a three-course meal that you offer someone. It could be a coffee. Yeah, we can do things differently. Again, I'm not looking, if I'm invited to people's house, about what ingredients they've used and how much their food bill cost. I'm just glad for the welcome. You can even offer to someone, oh, should we go for a walk together? Doesn't have to have any cost to it. There are loads of things we can do that are free. There's loads of ways, aren't there, where we say, oh, I can't, I can only. And actually our main answer is, I'm trusting Jesus with what I've got. I want to use what I have to share hospitality with others and ultimately to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. You see, maybe we like to think, we use our excuses to think that we're being humble. You know, we're not pushing ourselves forward. I don't want to pretend to be someone I'm not. And we kind of pull that kind of humility excuse. Yet, you know, surely that is still assuming that everything is on us. It's about our ability, our strength, our personality. And actually, that's a little bit of pride rather than humility. Making excuses based on us is forgetting the amazing power and provision that Jesus gives. Thank you. So often, though, don't we? We need to just let Jesus take control. It's interesting, we're not going to go on later in Luke 9, but Jesus goes on to explain further about what it means to be a disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So following Jesus means putting our own excuses aside, our own abilities aside, but taking up a cross and following him. So what about instead of saying, well, I've only got, we actually are saying, I have Jesus. I have everything. Remembering that it's not what we've got to start with, but about what we receive from him. But I wonder if, secondly, we maybe think, oh, well, I've done enough. I've already used my skills. I've done my bit. But surely that's also trusting in ourselves, rather than asking Jesus to multiply what we have beyond what we could ever have dreamed or asked for. Now, sure, it's not easy. We can read for ourselves, can't we, how the disciples reacted. But surely we need to keep trusting Jesus to do more than we can ask or imagine. I wonder what things are on your heart and mind at the moment. Do we trust him to multiply what we have, to do more than we could ask or imagine? Look at the results in this passage. Thousands upon thousands of people were fed. And yet there were 12 basketfuls of broken food at the end. That is amazing. Imagine, just pause to imagine how the disciples felt at that moment. A little bit of a mixture of embarrassment, I imagine, at how they'd been at the beginning, but just amazed at what God had done. But finally, let's reflect. It wasn't just the physical needs of the people. It wasn't just giving them bread and food that day. It wasn't just that Jesus did. Because the greatest need that any of us have is to know Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And as we read the account of this story, if you turned to John's Gospel to read it, you'd see that Jesus goes on to talk about himself as the bread of life, that whoever comes to him will never go hungry, and whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. And it was wonderful that on that miraculous day that there was so much food left over. But even more amazing is that knowing Jesus, the bread of life, as our Saviour, means that our deepest need of forgiveness of sin will be satisfied. And we will know fullness of life, not just now, but in eternity. And so I think our final challenge is, how good are we at sharing that news? Is that another time that we think of excuses? When we don't tell others about Jesus, we think, oh, I can't do that, I don't have the right words, I'm too busy. It's interesting, isn't it, that in verse 12, the disciples couldn't cope. They just wanted to send the people away. They were like, send them away. We can't do this. They thought it was all too much. And yet Jesus proved to them that they could cope, but only if they trusted him with what they had and for what they needed. There is just so much challenge in this passage for us. I've been quite overwhelmed as I've studied it and thought, wow, there's so much to challenge us. And I want to say, even for the youngest amongst us here, remember that not in Luke's gospel, actually, but in the other gospels, we're reminded that it was just a young boy that brought those 5 loaves and 2 fish, effectively gave away his packed lunch. And Jesus took that. I wonder how God is challenging your heart today. When do you utter those two phrases? Effectively, I've only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The words might be different, but you're saying, I've only got this. We all do it, don't we? You'll know from the notices, we had a leadership team away day yesterday without revealing everyone's answers. You know, as we talk about evangelism and prayer, inevitably we say, oh, I lie, and we make excuses for ourselves. We all do it, but let's challenge ourselves about trusting in Jesus to use what we have and to multiply that. We're going to take some time now to reflect on that story, to have a time of prayer, individual prayer. On the way in, you should have received a piece of bread in a packet to remind you. And we're going to exchange just that bit of bread for a card that reminds us they all ate and were satisfied, how God multiplied it. Now, sometimes it's good to move and to remind ourselves just to take that act. So what we're going to do is have a few minutes. There'll be some music playing in the background. There are 3 places, one there, and one just at the back. Can you just wait a sec? God will, can you switch off a sec? Thanks. Where I would encourage you, as the music's playing, just to come forward, place your bread in the back basket and exchange it for a card to take home and to remind yourself of God's provision. I would encourage you, if you are able, to move and to do that. Obviously, I don't want to force people to move. I do understand not everyone's able to do that. And if, therefore, you would like to do that on your way out, you are free to pick up a card then on the way out as well. Please be sensible. We're still trying to be careful, a little bit careful about COVID. So, you know, queue sensibly, walk past people. You all know how to behave now, and you're all very good. So let's have that music on, and we'll take some time to pray. Yeah, one table here, one there, and one at the back. Thank you. Father God, we bring to you those pieces of bread, not as pieces of bread, but as what they represent in our hearts and lives. The things where we make excuses, the times when we say, I can't do this. And Father, we bring them to you and lay them before you and ask that instead we would be trusting you, not just to provide, but to miraculously show us your power and your presence. We bring to you the situations where we need your help. We need to the power of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to be bolder to share the gospel. Help us to share hospitality with one another. Use us, we pray, with what we have, but multiply that for your kingdom and your glory. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'm going to hand back to the band now for our final song. Thank you.